This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Caitlin Plant, and I am the Program Manager at Distress and Crisis Ontario. Thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. This is post-recording Caitlin coming back to record this introduction and a couple little content warnings about today's episode, just so that anyone who might struggle with the content can choose not to listen if they would like to. In this week's episode, I am joined by a friend of mine who is a relatively new mom, and we have a conversation about motherhood and some of the challenges that she faced in pregnancy and in the postpartum stages. And we also have her baby in the room with us while we are recording. So there's a little bit more background noise than normal. The conversation is a little bit more disjointed than it usually is since we had to pause in some louder times. So I do apologize that the flow is a little bit less consistent than our podcasts normally are. Hopefully it's still worth listening to. I would like to share that we do talk a little bit about miscarriage and baby loss. We talk about pregnancy anxiety and postpartum anxiety. And we also talk about some of the really good parts of being a mom. But if any of what we're discussing is going to be difficult for you to hear, please do take a pass on this week's episode. You need to do what is best for you, and we do not want any of our listeners to feel uncomfortable with anything that we ever share. That being said, I will let the recording Caitlin take over as I sit down and have a conversation with my friend Char. On the day that this podcast is released, it is the Monday before Mother's Day of 2024. And so I'm sitting here with one of my very good friends, Char, who is a relatively new mom, and her little dude is with us too. So if you hear any grunting noises and baby talk in the background, it's because we've got a very special guest with us today. And yeah, we're just going to have kind of an organic chat about this whole motherhood thing and how we're doing and some of the challenges and some of the awesome positives of motherhood. To give a little bit of context before we jump in, Char and I have been friends for just about 20 years now. Her little one here is around 7 months old. I have a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old. So we cover a pretty big scope. And also, as her job, Char is an OB nurse. So she has many years of experience in helping other babies come into the world as well, and brings a really unique perspective to these kinds of conversations in that way too. So yeah, Char, thank you for joining me and your little dude as well, who shall remain nameless for the sake of the podcast. And yeah, so I will apologize as well if we are talking at the baby. Our tones of voice may shift a little bit throughout this conversation too, so apologies for that as well. But it's really hard to not talk to this cutie.
Well, thanks for letting us come hang out with you.
So how have these first few months of motherhood treated you?
Good. Yeah, I'm starting to feel a little bit more like a human, like we can easily get out of the house and get our lives together a little bit more. We have more of a routine now, which is pretty nice. Those first few months were very, very cozy. Spent a lot of time at home. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice.
Fair enough. What do you think has been kind of the biggest shift in kind of your worldview and the way you move through life since this little dude has come into it?
Like I said before, like we definitely have slowed down a lot. This child is a contact napper, like will not be set down for really anything. So we've definitely slowed down a lot. I used to be pretty go, but we've definitely had to change that plan and make our schedule a little bit more flexible, which I don't know, has been pretty nice to slow down and decrease our expectations on ourselves. I don't know.
Have you found that people have been like respectful of that
in terms of like being understanding of the fact that your plans might not always stay the way that you expect them to if something comes up with this little guy.
Yeah, people have been really wonderful. I feel like there was a lot of shock when we traveled really early postpartum. But honestly, that newborn stage when you can just pop them in the car seat and they fall asleep, it was great. That would be the best time to get out. But people have been really flexible with us, which has been really lovely. Mm-hmm. I think it was more so the expectation on myself that our house is... Sometimes I'm going to spend my time just hanging out with my little man and not cleaning the house before you come over. And if you come over, then you get what you get, which I feel has been, it took a lot for me to let go of it. But now, as you've seen, whatever you come into, and it's your choice if you want to come into our house or not.
Which really, like, that is the way that it should be. And I'm really glad that that's the experience that you've had, that people are like understanding of that and understanding of the fact that, hey, this little human kind of dictates the schedule for the foreseeable future, really. I feel like, yeah, with my toddler, we are just kind of coming out of that. He is kind of his own contained person now. He's almost 4, actually, which is crazy. Absolutely crazy to me. And like, we're at the point now where like, I can leave the house without a bag and not really be worried about it because he's not having accidents really anymore. Every now and then he'll like accidentally get messy, and that's going to happen for the rest of his life. Like, even as an adult, I accidentally get messy. But it feels like some of that even more freedom is kind of starting to come back. Obviously with the teenager, it's a little bit different. It's either she needs all of my attention immediately or she doesn't want to talk to me at all. And there's not really an in-between there right now, which is a little bit interesting. It's really a weird time having like both of those things going on at once.
One that won't get off of you and one that you couldn't pay to be your friend in public.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. One, I am still the center of his universe. And the other one, I am the least cool person in existence. Which is a really interesting thing to experience
at the same time.
but I wouldn't change it though. Yeah. Your mom is still the coolest person in your world and will be for a while, right, dude?
That's what I keep thinking, is one day he's not even going to want to talk to me when his friends are around. So right now when he only wants me, then I will just take that. And especially, I don't know, I feel like in Canada we're so lucky to have such a long maternity leave as an opportunity, that if we get to hang out all the time, then I'll take it. Hey, you're my only job right now.
Something that we did talk about before coming into this though is the whole thing of, and I think it's being spoken about more kind of in the wider world as well and on social media and things, but it's the kind of postpartum anxiety and postpartum rage and kind of how that was for you following, yeah, the birth of this guy.
Yeah, I feel like maternal mental health is pretty important. Like you said before, part of my job is helping new moms. So I'm very used to doing lots of teaching about postpartum depression and all of that kind of stuff. But a lot of other stuff that isn't always in all the teaching is the anxiety or the postpartum, like the mom rage, which is also very real. That hormonal shift is a lot. Personally, I'm not, I don't think as like on the outside, I'm a very nervous person. But there were quite a few things that during pregnancy I was super anxious about and kind of came to terms with. And then when it worked out for the better, that was super great. But I had some bleeding early on in pregnancy and I had convinced myself, this is it, I've miscarried, it's fine. And I had kind of come to terms with that. And then we had an ultrasound and everything was perfect. So that was a great surprise. And then labor was a lot. It was on my mind a lot because I had somehow convinced myself that things were going to go poorly. We were going to end up in the OR, and then we didn't. And this little guy came out pretty nicely and everything was totally fine, which was also lovely. He did end up in the nursery for a little bit. And again, things were totally fine there. And I had in my head thought that it wasn't going to work out the way that it did. And then He got sick a few weeks after his birth. It was just a respiratory infection, but he was to the point of really crappy breathing that I was like, oh, okay, this is it. Like, it took us so long to have a baby and things worked out during pregnancy, but if something bad happens, then I had almost like come to terms with that and like now not feeling those hormones. I'm like, what was happening in my brain? Yeah. So like stuff like that where I catastrophize and then everything does work out perfectly. Kind of nice to have the, you know, things work out well, but definitely scary where your brain immediately goes. And then, yeah, I also did not expect to feel like I was being hunted for sport when he cried and I didn't have him. He can scream his head off while I have him and it's totally fine. But if someone else has him or he's in another room, I did not expect that nervous system response. Mm-hmm. But holy Toledo, give me that baby back. That is finally wearing off. He's cool. He's fine.
So I think we both come from a place where we're really lucky that we have really good support systems. Obviously you have a partner that is like really supportive of you and parents who are really supportive of you and in-laws who are really supportive of you. I've got, like, I live in the same house as my parents. We all kind of work together on all of the life things and we're really lucky that we've got people like in our corner who can support us and who really helped us through these stages of motherhood. So I'm wondering if we've got listeners who maybe aren't in the same position as us, who maybe don't have as good of a support system, or they do have a support system, but they're still feeling nervous, because that is absolutely understandable. If you've got like maybe just a little bit of advice for anyone that's feeling nervous or overwhelmed or is just struggling with this whole mom-in thing.
I feel like even though I have an amazing support system and people who constantly tried to be there for us, I was too antsy to kind of reach out to very many people, and then when I did, it was amazing. And now that we've started to more rely on our community a little bit more, it has been amazing. So reaching out to people, who your family doctor can be super helpful. There's tons of helplines. Like, there's so many resources in the community that you can use, and you're not actually alone. It feels very alone and very isolating, especially when you're freshly postpartum and you're the only person awake at 3 a.m. Having mom friends is amazing, and unloading on them is great. It's hard to show your struggle sometimes, because even as like I said, as an OB nurse, I know all of this information. I should have it together, but still being anxious or nervous. Yeah, you just actually letting someone in on that information changes so many things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also if you don't feel like you have people close to you, one of the things that the internet is great for is building that online community and having those people that, hey, if you're up feeding at 3 a.m, you know that there is somebody else in the world that is also up at 3 a.m. feeding in the morning. And just knowing that can help you feel a little bit better. Like, I think when it comes into these kind of, I say later stages of parenting, again, 4 and 13, I'm kind of in the middle and the end of parenting at the same time. Not that it ever really ends, but
I don't know that it ever ends.
Yeah. I still live with my parents. They don't necessarily parent me it anymore, doesn't end. But yeah.
No, but they're still there. Yeah. And they'll still worry about you.
Yeah. But I think one of the things that, like, in this point of parenting that I'm trying to figure out is who I am when I'm not a mom. And that's something that is really difficult to unravel and explore as well. So kind of trying to, as much as you can, hold on to some of the things that help you feel like just a person, not necessarily a mom. So making sure that you're kind of taking advantage of still watching your favorite shows and still keeping up with the things that bring you joy, and just trying as much as possible to not let the mom guilt set in too much. It is never going to fully go away, ever. Like, again, even with a teenager, I still sometimes feel mom guilt, and she probably doesn't even consider what I would be feeling it about. Like, she wouldn't care at all.
Yeah, it doesn't make a huge difference to her day at all, but you're ruminating on it and feeling like an absolute garbage parent.
Exactly. I don't think I don't think that ever really goes away. But if you can show yourself some compassion, show yourself some grace, know that social media only shows the highlight reels. Like, please don't compare yourself to the perfect mom that you see posting every day how their awesome day went. Like, no, I promise you that she still had at least a couple hours of trash in her day as well. She's just showing the highlight reels. Like,
oh yeah, someone had a temper tantrum right after that photo.
Exactly. Yeah. Just remember you're not alone, even when it feels like it. And when you're really in the trenches, you're at that 3-month sleep regression, you're dealing with a toddler who never wants to leave you alone, all of those things will pass, and you're still gonna have these like really, really incredible, awesome moments as well. And these tiny humans that we get to share a part of our lifetime with are really worth it. Like, I would go through the negatives of parenthood a million times over to also experience the positives. And
and I think thinking of the worst thing that could possibly happen, definitely not worth it. Definitely not worth it to ruminate on.
And yeah, when the bad things do happen, there's too resources. Will pass. Yeah, and there's resources. And yeah, please don't ever hesitate to reach out for help. Please don't ever hesitate to contact, if it's a distress line, if it's a parenting support group, if it's a friend, if it's someone that you haven't talked to in 5 years, but you know they went through a similar experience, just pick up the phone. It's totally worth trying. And we do hope that anyone who's listening to this podcast who is a mom, who is a mother figure, who kind of has stepped into a mothering role, that you have a really good Mother's Day. If Mother's Day is hard for you for any reason at all, we really hope that you can give yourself the space and the grace that you need to on the day, that you can give yourself permission to have a hard day. That is absolutely okay.
It's okay to set a boundary and say, this is not for me and I won't be participating. Mm-hmm.
And just remember that, yeah, our member centers are one of the resources that are there. You can find your nearest center by visiting our website at www.dcontario.org/locations. And any of our distress lines will be more than happy to support you through the day and to provide any resources that you might need just to get through this whole mommin' gig. So again, thank you for listening. We hope that this podcast was helpful, maybe helped you feel a little bit less alone if you are in those trenches of motherhood, and we hope you join us again next week.